Hello, my friends. Today, I want to share with you a bit about what I've been doing to grow as a leader personally. I've been working hard to own my morning and take care of myself. Getting up and doing a quick run first thing in the morning, pushing myself to grow and expand. It's been pretty challenging, but I've been doing it for a couple weeks now. It's amazing how much more energy I have when I push through that feeling of being tired and just do it. From the moment my alarm goes off until I'm out on the sidewalk is about 4 minutes flat. I've been tracking my exercise and my food. For the food tracking, I've been using this free app called MyFitnessPal, and it's really great because it lets you take pictures of the barcodes on the food so you don't have to enter everything. The book Extreme Ownership has really helped me with understanding discipline, which is a prerequisite for success as a technology leader. Making yourself do something that you don't want to do when you know it needs to be done is the equivalent of a superpower. I'm sharing this with you because our guest today, Nicholas, is all about improving and growing. He's been engaging on LinkedIn and contributing excellent leadership quotes. Thanks, Nicholas. Today, we are talking to Nicholas, the CTO of Naked, and we discuss setting core values for your team to work and live by, how to get a new tribe to accept you as their leader, and learning what drives you from your past experience. All of this right here, right now, on the Modern CTO Podcast.
Here we go. This is the Modern CTO Podcast.
I'm very excited, and I'm sure you're very excited because your company is growing really fast right now.
Yeah, I'd say that the topic for this meeting should be Naked and my part in that company. So I can start off with explaining a little how I got into contact with the company, because it's peculiar and quite old company. So I have run into Jarno, which is the founder of Naked, sometimes previously, since I have a background in e-commerce here in Sweden for the last 10 years, and he has started a lot of very successful e-commerce companies, one being Nelly.com, which started, I think, 2005 and grew for at least, I think, 8 years. So it was a quite fast growth. And then he sold that and started some company within, I think, Pet Foods Online or something, which also was quite successful. But the attempt here in Naked was the, I think, really peculiar one and really fast growing. So they started in 2015, and I have heard about Jarno previously, so my first contact with Naked was in spring 2017, about a year ago. So I got a call from the new CFO in the company, and he explained that they had a challenge for me, being one of my motive operandos, so to speak, in e-commerce was the migration of platform, when you move from one platform to another, and the risks and processes in there. So I've done that quite a lot of times. So they have gotten word of me, and now they had a really important business project for Naked, which had then outgrown their current platform, and also the business model for the company has changed. So it was really important to change the platform to a more suitable one, and also to accommodate for the tremendous growth. So he actually sold this as a challenge in one of the, I think, top 30 or 40 fastest growing companies in Europe. And this was also in the fashion, in retail fashion industry, which I was then completely new to, although I have been working in retail previously. And this was a small company out of some startup, more of a in industrial facility in quite rural Gothenburg. But he was actually able to sell this, since he explained that it was a more of a business project than an IT project, since the project has also, they were very afraid that it would fail, because they were, I think, one third of the time plan was already passed, and they haven't actually gotten any progress at all. So I was curious, so I went to them, and I explained, spoke with the founder Jarno and CFO on them, and they explained that this was probably the most important project in 2017 for the company, and it was a migration of e-commerce and also PIM system that they have included for the system architecture, since previously was a more simple e-commerce platform based on PHP and Magento version. Mm-hmm. So now
I'm familiar with those.
I really like Magento as well, but for that purpose and what they had done with the Magento, it was quite skewed.
Yeah, they usually do that, yeah. Right?
so it was probably in the last minute that we were able to change this. But the key here being, since I realized that was probably a 12-month project to do, the project plan was in 6 months only, so it was quite a steep curve. And when I got aboard, I think almost two months has already elapsed. And for me to be able to deliver on this, which was, I think the predecessors had done quite a sloppy job in the whole analysis and the demands. So it was a really impossible project. But one of the first things that I did was to accept the role as CTO and project manager of this, was to have the staff, the developers, to elect me as their manager. Not to be appointed by the CFO or CEO.
Yeah, you have to get the buy-in from the team.
Exactly. So this was one of the kickers for me to have the group's approval as their manager or leader.
How did you do that?
I worked close with them for a couple of weeks. And what we did was firstly to remove the influence of the CEO, the founder, and the CFO from the developers, to actually create some stable work environment, to say that you can have meetings with me, but you should not interfere with the developers, because they need to have some kind of peace and quiet. That was, I think, one of the issues, to actually be a filter for the developers or the upper management to be able to remove some of the really ludicrous requests and to be to some kind of sanity filter. And then to create the environment of peace and quiet. And then we worked close for a couple of weeks, and then we had the discussion, or the CEO had a discussion of having me appointed as a new CTO, which they approved. So then they have the, since they have selected me as their leader, I think then we can also step things up. So we had quite a steep plan where the project was remodeled. We had some scope reductions of things that were really not MVP. So because the important thing with this project is we had a very, very hard, firm set deadline in November. So we were able to adjust the scope of the project and to adjust the budget somewhat. But the deadline was quite firm set, and I will come to why that was important later on. So we had some tough months.
Like, you made a good point. You made a good point, because rather than saying, oh, we're going to hire 20 more people so we can meet the deadline, instead you just adjusted the scope, right?
Yeah.
That's what you did.
Exactly. And you have, it's of course a balance, because you cannot hollow out everything and take too much shortcuts. So you have to have some kind of baseline on what to deliver. But the thing is that the CEO, the founder, had some unrealistic expectations of this. And the key is that the old platform would never had stood for some close scrutiny, because it was really, I jokingly can talk about it now as an amusement park, because the operations went up and down, and we had some severe shortages and major incidents. So I think it was probably, it was running and we sold quite good, but we would never have been able to continue the growth we have now. So we were at peak, and we were really having issues maintaining that old platform. And also we are, of course, we had a new round of investors the fall in 2017. And one of the key things that we would never have gone through any tech DD or due diligence with the old platform, because they would have, of course, realized that it was not sustainable for the new sales. So for us to be successful in the new financing we had this fall, it was critical to have the new platform up and running. So what we did also, we of course had we have fun. So we have some 3 o'clock beer where we can take a beer at work Friday afternoon, and we have some quiz. So we had a lot of we worked hard, and we had to increase the pace as well. So we did some quite tough weeks at the end of this project. But what is also interesting in this company is that most of the staff are quite young. So out of 150 employees, about I'd say 80% are below 27 years of age, so it's quite young staff. highly motivated and still into the startup kind of vibe. So when we did some acceptance testing in November, we had a weekend where 25 staff members from non-IT departments like marketing and purchasing came and did a weekend with us to do acceptance testing. So it was kind of all company involvement, which is also quite nice to have.
Yeah, when you bring all the departments together and everyone feels that sense of culture, does the culture in your development team match the culture and other parts of the company?
I'd say that prior to these changes we did, because it's also what really drew me to this company and to this project and to this role, was that I think no one actually believed that we could pull this off, because the IT department had reputation of having everything 80% completed 80% of the time. So they really never finished anything and delivered on things. So we were always late. And the first platform they started in 2015, starting the company, was, I think, 6 months delayed. So what we did here, that we actually delivered on time, changed everything. So going from being almost some kind of internal joke for development and IT department, we actually gained a lot of notoriety in this project. And what we set with the new platform was actually what catapulted us into 2018, because we also in late 2017 received funding from a French company, which invested $40 million in us. So we are now building Naked 2.0. So, and that would never have been possible without the new platform, I'd say.
So just so I recap, so you come in here, you've got a department that's getting 80% of the stuff done 80% of the time. So they're not producing much value at all to the organization, just a lot of incomplete projects. They accept you as their leader through you working with them for a week, maybe 2 weeks, very closely. And then they vote you in as their leader. You then shift the culture so that the rest of the company's culture matches the technology, or so that you pull the rest of the company's culture into technology so that they're in sync. And then from there, what you do is you build an actual useful product that brings value to the rest of the organization, which then gives your department or the technology department like notoriety and respect from the rest of the company, because they're actually bringing value and helping them with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing here is when I first got approached by this, I'd say that there was probably one person in the entire company and in the entire project that believed that this could be done besides me. And then it was also a matter of convincing, because both the CEO and the IT department themselves were in serious doubt about this being done at all. So it was also a matter of bit by bit building up the confidence and trying to show that this can actually be done, and being the stubborn person who actually came to office first and left last, and to show that it's just a matter of, it's like to say, how do you devour an elephant? Yes, you divide it and take it bit by bit to be able to create something bigger. And also what also complicated, because we had a supplier which was like a premium partner for this e-commerce platform. And they started the project, the 6 months project that really should have taken 12 months. They started this with taking 6 months of vacation, all of them. So they actually also was kind of a big stress factor for the company, that they were not, they were procrastinating a lot. So I say that they also didn't believe that this could be done. And therefore, they didn't put any effort in. So I say it was a lot of politics and PR in having this done.
Wow. And so when the French company came in and put money in, was that because everyone saw the transition and saw how fluid and everything was going well? Is that what brought in that investor?
Yes, I'd say that the new platform and the IT was probably 1/3 or 50% of this. And so it was also, since we are a product company in fashion, it has to do with the designers and the purchasing and the brand. So the Naked brand is actually very high valued. And if you search for do statistics from Google and see the other, like H&M and Zalando and other Swedish brands, the Naked brand will rate higher in Google searches, because the brand awareness of our customers, which would be women between 18 and 35, We have extremely high brand awareness. So I say it's the IT platform is a means to deliver on that brand. So without that, we would not have gotten the funding, definitely. And I also want to stress what we did in IT department with the developers was that we set some core values aligning to the failure to deliver previously on that everything was almost 80% down all of the time. Which partly was, of course, because upper management were constantly involved in re-planning things for IT. And we claimed that we work in some agile scrum methodology, but it was mostly like one continuous ever-growing sprint that never was completed because they never was able to keep like sprint planning and doing in proper framework. So we we brought out three core values, which the staff themselves brought out, and one was transparency. Like we should always be transparent within the company of what we are working with and our roadmap and what is to be delivered on later. Because now that we have set the pace and we have shown that we can deliver, they will actually not push things because they know it's in the roadmap. So they know that it will be built eventually. Number two was integrity, that when we promise something, we always deliver on it. So we should not make promises that we cannot deliver on. And we should make, to the fullest extent, to try to deliver on promises that have been made. And the third being solidarity. So we work as a team and we help each other out. And those core values, I think, also contributed in bringing the team together and to making us much better on delivering on promises.
I agree. I mean, those things that you've established, those core values, are not just nice to have. They're prerequisites to you hitting the goal and to being able to pull everyone together.
Definitely. And the thing is that now we are at more of a, it has been a tough transition because it means that I have to take a lot of fights with the CEO and other upper management to be able to get this leeway how should I put it? They believe enough in us as a department that we will work in the sprints and with the roadmaps so that we don't interfere or micromanage us. But now we have that.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I'm really interested in the core values for a second. So you talk about them, right? I can see how you would address the team and you would talk about them and establish them. But how would you bring them up in a day-to-day life to sort of like establish the culture? Like how would you continuously bring them up? I mean, did you print them out and stick them up on the wall? Did you constantly bring them up in conversation? How did you keep those three core values in front of you and not just an exercise that you did and make it something that you actually lived?
I'd say that part of this was the first exercise where we actually brought forth the core values that we should have in IT, because I think that you should have some core values and they should be created as a group effort that you together with the staff will establish. And secondly, we of course we had them written down and we talked a lot about what the meaning was of those words. And I'd say that the most important is that you actually live like you learn, or so to speak, that you when you speak about transparency, you will also have to live by it and show it to others. And I had a discussion about one of my latest star employees, a very senior developer, had gotten promised something from our CEO, something regarding his employment. I wasn't part of that discussion, and I don't think our CEO remembers it. But it's very important for me as their leader to actually deliver on what we as a company has promised, the integrity core value. So I say that you have to actually set an example and actually show this for the staff as well.
And then when there was like a violation, did you just address that like independently, one-on-one with the individual?
Always. I say that I have had staff like a managerial role for about 10 years, and I have never taken a resignation from any staff. I have unfortunately been forced to terminate some employment, but I have never had an employee resign on me.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I know it has always been like a very, very fast-growing business, which is an issue of itself, and or a very fast decline, which is also very hard. So it's always been companies that has been very fast shifting. But I say it's There is, I think it's an American that speaks a lot about leadership called Simon Sinek.
I love Simon.
Yeah. And he, I think he has a lot of this figured out, that like why you have to start with the why, et cetera, and always the why does leaders eat last is also one example of, I think you have to be a part of it, but also to be standing on the sideline and just allow your staff to grow.
Yes. So that's really interesting. So you obviously have read Simon Sinek's book, and what other things do you do? Like I'll tell you what I do. I just constantly read and listen to Audible, and I'm always consuming different sort of leadership content, and I keep it around me all the time so that it's, you know, in my focus, because if you stop paying attention to a topic, it fades into the background. So do you do the same thing? Do you keep leadership material in front of you frequently, like Simon's and other leaders?
Yeah. And I try to, because I think the Simon is one, but I think there is like a paradigm shift in coming from an old industrial society where you worked in the factory and you had a manager which was like hardcore appointed boss, which set the rules, like an authority figure, into shifting into more of the what Simon talks about, the leader being more of an informal role that you don't necessarily have to be appointed to. You can have a manager, but you can also have a leader in the same department. They're not necessarily the same person. So I think like in the digital era where we are now, the role of the leader will be very much more important, and the, perhaps the old manager type of figure will diminish some. So I think there's a lot of interesting like TED Talks, etc., about the topics of the new type of management being centralized around the leader.
Oh, I was talking to the CTO of TED this weekend. He only lives an hour from me.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Yeah, he's a real, real cool guy. His name's Gavin. But no, that's you make some really good points about leadership. And I'm kind of curious to know, like, where do you see your next stage in leadership? Like, where are you focusing on in growth in your role? Like, what's on the top of your mind lately?
I'd say that it's I'm very comfortable where I am right now, because Naked is a very both challenging but also extremely interesting company, because it's a never dull moment, and every day will give you new challenges, which is good. And I think when we started in 2015, the new site was up 6 months later, so March 2016. Then we sold about $20 million the first year, and then it was $50 million last year, 2017. And we will probably hit $100 million this year. And that kind of growth produces exceptional challenges on everything, staff, facilities, IT, of course. So I say that I am very happy with my current position in this company. And I am 43 years of age now, and I'm probably not ever going to be like the strategic PowerPoint making plans kind of leader. So I'm more comfortable with being part of a smaller team. We are now 10 FTEs in the IT department in Naked, some consultants. So we are like 16, I think, totally in the project. But I would always be the person who like to roll up the sleeves of the shirt and to dig into things and be part of it more than to standing in the board meetings with the necktie and producing PowerPoints.
Me too. So how many people are on the development team total?
I have 10 FTEs now, and we are right now we are 10 consultants on working from remote. So we are 20 in total, but 10 employees.
Nice. And then how have you faced any challenges with, so you're in the growth, and so you're picking up some consultants, because you'll probably need some specialists, right? Because we all have generalists and specialists that we need. But what have you noticed as far as the culture when making the team more remote? Like, what have you faced any challenges with involving the remote team back into the company culture, or what have you learned there?
Yes, I'd say when I started here, I had I had some almost like what's it called?
Preconception.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. Preconception. And then I was dead against the remote things. So I thought that if I have consultants, quite expensive ones, I'd like to keep them in the team, because both to transfer knowledge, but also be able to keep track on the hours. And you know, if someone is misbehaving, it's a good chance to talk with them. That has changed working here, because now we have the daily stand-ups via Hangouts. So everyone is able to work from remote. Even the staff in Gothenburg are able to work from home if necessary. So we are quite dynamic, and we have 9 a.m. we have the daily stand-ups for about 15 minutes, quite disciplined. And we have time logging in Jira. So it's I think it's possible to work almost from everywhere. And I say it's just a matter of setting the structure. And in today's work environment, I don't see any issues at all with having a distributed team.
So how do you involve them in sort of like the human aspect? So the time tracking, the deliverables, all that, I understand. But what do you do to intentionally kind of like involve them in the company aspect, or are they at a distance?
Yeah, I agree with you there. It has been an issue of consultants being remote. We had some like almost work exchange where some of the developers from my team went down to the consultants, which are they are about 300 kilometers away, so it's two and a half hour by train, so it's not there that far. But they went there and they were on some we had a couple's programming, and they worked very tightly with the consultants for a couple of days, and we did that for a couple of months, which I think was also very successful. And then we had nice. Some we had some events where we went out and have dinner and had some beers, etc. Also, so it's I agree with you that it actually complicates the human part of it. The coffee machine talk, etc., will be less. So we use Slack for daily communication, but it's not comparable to actually human interaction, unfortunately. So
there's actually a recurring topic that has been coming up on the show, and it's sort of like the work from home depression that you get because you're not going out into the world for large portions of the day. So that's something that is new, because we didn't have a lot of work from home, you know, 25 years ago, but we're getting a lot more of it now. So now we need new skills and techniques in order to not become, you know, too depressed and to be able to get that human interaction that we need, because we're built as people to interact with each other. And sometimes you just need to look into someone else's eyes, or like have a conversation or a high five, you know, like the water cooler stuff you were talking about.
Definitely. So I'd say that we try to have, and I also substitute some of the consultants that were in the team that were 300 kilometers away from some local ones in Gothenburg that are able to sit with the team in our office, just because, as you mentioned, there is the extra dimension of being present in the office.
Oh, that's really smart. I'm taking notes over here because it's really cool how you do that. You found consultants, yeah, because you understand remote is part of it, but you have intentionally sought out consultants that have the potential to be able to come into the office from time to time to develop those relationships.
Yeah, I'd say it's and it's funny because we are now doing we have very like a balanced work schedule. So we have the 2 week sprints, and we deploy and release. And it's in the project that we did last year was more chaotic, and was quite we did some 60 hours work weeks as well. And it's all, now it's balanced out. We do the normal 40 hours weeks. It's exactly some of the developments that mentioned that they missed the old times when we did the project, where we did the late night pizza and beer, and we worked very much like the startup. So what we have done is we also try to involve the consultants in Gothenburg to be part of the, but it's of course it's a balance. You cannot push 60 hours weeks for very long. So it's a matter of proving something, and then it's actually always been voluntary. So those who have family etc. are of course not required to work long hours.
Do you have any children?
Yeah, I have two. I have a daughter of 9 years and a son of 1.5. So it's an interesting. It's that they challenge my leadership skills concept. So it's,
isn't it like watching little machine learning algorithms gain experience?
Yeah, definitely. And it's also it puts time in a very peculiar perspective, because my 9-year-old daughter, I remember being 1 year old quite recently. So, yeah. so it's a very, very, very rewarding but also challenging experience.
Yeah, it's also challenging for you to watch them grow so fast and see, wow, time is just speeding up.
Yeah, definitely.
And then and then you have opportunities like this. Like, you know, obviously you're inside your life, but from an outside, you seem to be really in a great position as far as you doing something great. Like it looks like to me, your whole 10 years led up to this moment now, right? Like Naked, right? Because you've gone in there and you've leveraged a full decade of experience to execute, come through, and be responsible for bringing the platform that has allowed this growth.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that one benefit from being a senior is that you should really learn both about your experience and your mistakes and what drives you. And also what will deter you from taking an assignment or a challenge. And what I've learned about myself is that it's like the roll up your sleeves on the shirt and to get your hands dirty thing we talked about recently. Mm-hmm. That businesses are either in fast growth or in fast decline is something that I really enjoy working with, because it's a quite severe situation and also high stakes and quite complex problems. But when you have actually stabilized and you're going into more of a maintenance phase, I quite rapidly lose interest, because it will be too much of a regular 9-to-5 and quite predictive. And here at Naked, I can tell you that there is no day like the yesterday, so there will always be a quite fast turns, but also quite good challenges.
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about that too, because you know I talk to different CTOs of various size companies all the time, and you know I've been one myself for quite a while. So getting to know yourself is incredibly important. And I found that, much like you, I crave that variety in the project. And then recently I've been playing, now I haven't tested this recently, but I've been playing with it, right? Is can I get that variety need solved through the culture and the relationships at the business, and allow the business itself to continue to grow at its pace and maybe be a little boring? In one sense, someone may see that, oh, you just wake up and go there every day, or oh, you just continually do it like this. And so from one perspective, from someone who's outside the culture, it could look boring, but from being inside with the relationships and the challenges that we're choosing to seek out and solve, it's actually quite not boring. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you, because there might be, and it's also from Naked, I say we are quite lucky that most, or it's a culture thing, that most of the employees are the people who like the challenge or the variety. And if you were like someone who'd prefer to work at the IRS or something to punch papers, you would right. probably not fit, or you will not apply for a job there. So we have that in our DNA. Like driven by very, very fast change. And it's also something that I think has led to this tremendous growth. So it's not just an IT success, but it's a success for the entire company, which also makes my role quite challenging, because there is a lot of request changes on IT. And we don't have any physical store, so the IT, the e-commerce platform is our... We have some business to business as well, but that's quite recent. So it has always been the e-commerce platform that is our main sales channel. And there can be a lot of, most of them are good, but there are some ludicrous requests as well. But it's a challenge of being able to funnel it into some kind of sprint or roadmap or something, and to explain to the business that you can have this, but you cannot have it right now. So we have to prioritize.
That's what you're learning at home, though.
Yeah, definitely.
So, this has been like a fantastic call. I've learned so much. you've answered like a million questions. What other big topics are on your mind that you really want to get out into the world?
I'd say that it's of course important to have fun, to laugh at things, and sometimes in stand ups I do some ludicrous joke or something just to lighten tension up, and it's you should remember to have fun, because it's not always the most biggest challenges or worst task that it's all about. So
yeah, you bring up a great point, because as a leader, one of your abilities has to be to feel the energy of the room and your team, to understand it, and then to be able to intentionally change it by bringing it up or down as you need, right? If it's way too high and everybody's way too excited all the time, nothing's getting done, right? There has to be that ebb and flow of balance. And you as the leader are the one who gets to set the pulse. You get to set the tone, the rate at which you go up and down. And then you have to be always aware of it. I have found that learning that is something I've only learned in the past 2 years. But once I figured it out, it's been incredibly beneficial to me to be able to pull together people.
Definitely. And also to be almost like take a step back and to listen and observe, because there are developers are individuals, and some would like to have more challenges, and some would like to have the same level as previously. So it's important also to realize who, like we did in the earlier project, that not everyone can do a 60-hour week or wants to, and it's very important to accept that, and to the ones who wants to have more challenges, you can keep rising the bar, and almost as a trainer for Olympics, that you can raise the bar and make them more productive or more learn new technologies. So I say it's important to realize that everyone in the team would be an individual as well as part of the team.
Right, because the people that are hungry, it's your job to keep feeding them challenges. And the people that want to do the more repeatable tasks, or the tasks that are less challenging, provided you know they're motivated and they get stuff done, but the ones that want to do the less challenging stuff, it's important to take that sort of work and then assign it to them, and then allow the hungry people to keep solving and feeding them challenges. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I'd say that this is analysis, and it might be flawed, but I think more senior developers with family, etc., tends to be more reluctant to extreme challenges, and more junior, new fresh out of school, they really hungry, like to learn and can dig into almost everything, like with ferocity. So I think we have a good mix. We have some junior developers and some senior, and we have a good culture and a good mix of that, so we can keep both momentum and stability.
I've also noticed that programming languages also have cultures of their own, in the sense that certain types of people program in certain types of languages.
Can you elaborate on that?
If you look at Python versus Ruby for specifics, you'll find that if you start reading the code of Python developers, it'll be drier. And if you read the code of Ruby developers, it'll be more fun and creative and upbeat.
Okay, I'll have to look into that. That sounds very, very funny.
Yeah. And if you look at the creators of the two languages, they have the personality of their code bases.
I can totally understand that.
Yeah, check that out. That's just that conversation came up the other day with another CTO, and I was like, I noticed that Python developers, not all of them, first of all, it's not like a blanket statement, but I noticed if I run into 100 Python developers, you know, 60 of them are very similar to each other. And if I do the same with Ruby, it's the same thing. And so I went and looked, he pointed out, the person I was talking to pointed out, the creator of Python is like openly considers it like a dictatorship. Like he's handing down orders on how Python should be done. And whereas Mats, the creator of Ruby, is more of like a community, relaxed, creative style person that, you know, and then you can see it through their language in the culture of the people who adopt the programming languages too.
Yeah.
Which is just interesting.
I think, I've also noticed something similar in being like the front end developer or the back end developer, which I think yep. has to, a lot to do with personality, or it becomes like you will become a certain personality if you have like a back end developer role. But I can see some parallels there as well, I think.
There's a lot of correlation between the personalities. Dude, thank you so much. Did you have a good time hanging out and talking?
Yeah, this has been fun. Yeah, I think it's very, very interesting to have an opportunity to share experiences with other CTOs. So this is, I really like the work you do. It's very, both interesting and beneficial. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Where are you located, Nicholas?
I'm located in Sweden, in Gothenburg, which is the second largest city in Sweden with about almost 1 million residents. So it's large for being Sweden, but not like a mega city.
Nice. We're going to be in Sweden at the end of this year, towards the end of this year. So when I'm there, I'm going to come by and see you.
That would be very, very fun. Exciting. Very nice. Yeah. So please contact me.
We'll have a beer and hang out. Yeah, I will.
Thank you so much for listening to the Modern CTO Podcast. Share this, get the word out. Thank you guys so much. I couldn't do it without you. I appreciate it. You guys are the absolute best.